I want to take a few moments to look at that passage that Brother Jim just read. This scripture, I've preached on this a lot of times. You've heard it preached. Some of you who preach in this pulpit, when in my absence, you've preached on it, Romans 3. And mainly I'm going to deal with verse 22. But the title of the message is Faith of or Faith in? Question mark. And obviously I'm going to deal with those two words, of and in, and why, what I think that we should know about this. But let me begin this way. You know, Bible translations are something to behold. I know that. There are good translations. There's bad translations. My favorite translations of the Bible are the King James Version and the New King James Version. I think that the King James is closest to the original. I'm not a King James only person. The reason for me that's so obvious is if that were true, then nobody had the written word of God until 1611, you know. So I'm not a King James only, but that's what I use. And I think some of you may have the New King James Version. That's fine. I like that version, too, because it just takes mainly it just takes the these and thous out. It says you and all that. So that's okay. But I've often said this. I've said that the gospel is a very simple message. I mean, a little child can understand if taught of God. Now, that's we understand that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The gospel is a simple message of salvation by grace. Salvation from our sins by the grace of God through the blood of Christ, through His righteousness alone. What He did, not what we do. But the Bible is not necessarily an easy book to understand. I mean, you think about Genesis to Revelation. You have to put in some time to use the rules of scriptural interpretation. That's why I wrote that book on rightly dividing the word. There are rules. And, of course, the main thing we know is that God, it must be revealed. The scriptures must be revealed. It's a revelation from God. And I think I mentioned last week, or I may have been preaching this on television because we recorded last week, how there's so many people who read the Bible and even memorize it, and they miss the message of it. Like the Pharisees of old, you do search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, Christ said. If you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way to Revelation, and you don't know the true Christ as He's identified and revealed in this word, you've missed it. I don't care how much of it you can quote, or like the Pharisees, you might sew it in your clothes today. They wear it on the bumper stickers or something like that. But either way. But words mean things. And it's amazing how you see one little word, how it can change your ideas and change your thoughts. And just like here in Romans 3:22, we see the faith of Jesus Christ, that word of. And then it talks about them that believe. We talk about believing in Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ, faith of Christ, faith in Christ. Those are two important things. And these words mean something, and how one little two-letter word can change your focus and how you interpret the scriptures. And that's not easy. I heard a preacher say one time about the word all. Now, you know how people, when they read the Bible, the word all and every and world, and it becomes everybody without exception, and it doesn't. Usually it doesn't mean that. Those are pronouns that have antecedents that refer to specific things that they're talking about. And the context determines that. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, all means all, and that's all it means. Well, if I were to stand up here and say this, make a statement like this, all lay eggs. Now, surely you'd think I'm talking about all chickens or all birds or whatever. I might be speaking metaphorically about people who make foolish statements. They lay an egg. There's a lot of eggs being laid this morning in that sense. But all don't lay eggs. I hope you don't. But you see what I'm saying? I'm using that just to make a point. That no, all means whoever the all they're talking about. That's who it means. World means whoever it's talking about. That's what it means. And that's why you have to read the Bible. But let me give you an idea here of where I'm going with this. Now, as Jim said, what Paul's talking about here, what's his subject? How God justifies a sinner. Now that's his subject, right? Well, what is this justification thing? You know, now he says, look at verse 20. He says, therefore, by deeds of law. Now, what is that? Well, that's obedience to the law. Shall no flesh be justified in God's sight? What is it to be justified? It means to be put right with God. And that includes this. It means having my sins forgiven. God forgives my sins. Now, why is that part of justification? God, you know, there has to be justice here. That's what that means. In other words, God doesn't just arbitrarily forgive my sins or your sins. He couldn't. He's not like some old grandfather who has grandchildren, and it doesn't matter what they do, you're going to forgive them because you love them. That's not what God's like. God is a just God. He's a righteous God. He's a God of truth. We read it this morning. He will by no means clear the guilty. In other words, in order for him to clear me, the guilt has to be removed. And he's got to do it in a just way. So God forgives my sins, but he has to do it on a just ground. His justice must be satisfied. We see that over in verse 25 here. In one word. Propitiation. What does that mean? That means someone came and took my place and satisfied the justice by his death. That means God's wrath is removed because of this person who took my place. And of course, it's talking about Christ. But justification goes further than just the forgiveness of sins. It also is the declaration of righteousness. God declares me righteous in his sight. Now, not in your sight. Because if you see me, you say, well, you're not committing sin right now. Well, let me tell you something. I'm growing older right now. By the second, I'm not the guy I used to be. And that's a consequence of sin, isn't it? So you see the consequence. But we're all sinners. Even our best efforts to obey God never measure up to the perfection of righteousness of the law. So how does God justly declare me righteous? It's based upon Christ's righteousness imputed. And what is Christ's righteousness? It's the righteousness of God. How can that be? Because he's God manifest in the flesh. Okay? So that's Paul's subject. And here's what he says in verse 20. Look at it. Therefore, by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And now, verse 21, he's going to define that phrase, the righteousness of God, and tell us how God justifies the ungodly. Now, you remember that term, the righteousness of God, was used back in Romans 1:17 when Paul was giving us a short definition of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, that is, from knowledge revealed to faith, knowledge received and believed, for the justified, those whose sins are forgiven, who are declared righteous before God based upon Christ's righteousness imputed, they live by faith, God-given faith. They live looking to Christ. They live believing Christ. So now he's going to define that a little, he's going to give us a longer definition of it. And here's what he says. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Now that cannot be without any obedience to the law, because this righteousness of God, which belongs to Christ, he gained it by obeying and satisfying the law. He was made under the law. So what does he mean? Well, context tells us. What did he say back in verse 20? By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. That's no sinful human being. So when he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law, what he means is without our obedience to the law. And the whole Bible backs that up, doesn't it? You're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is without our obedience. And this righteousness of God without our obedience is manifested. It's made known being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This was the issue of the Old Testament. Moses and the law and the prophets. And then he says, now here's our text, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You see that? The faith of Jesus Christ. Now, some translations change that to in Jesus Christ. One of my favorites does that. Most of them are more modern translations. But my point in this message, no, they've got it right. Now, the actual word that's translated could be technically translated either of or in. But what determines which? What's he talking about? He's talking about the righteousness of God. How does that come about? By the work of Christ. And what is the work of Christ? The work of Christ is his faithfulness to do and accomplish and fulfill what he promised to do before the foundation of the world. And that's the righteousness of God. So this should be the faithfulness of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them. Now, again, I love the King James Version, but it sometimes adds words that aren't in the original. And the words upon all are not in the original. So what it would read, it would read this way. It would read, the faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. Now, believing, that has to do with our God-given faith in Jesus Christ. But we are not justified by our God-given faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Christ, which is the gift of God, and we don't, listen, I want to say, you cannot overemphasize the blessing of and the need for God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have faith. Our faith in Christ, our believing in Him, that's the gift of God's grace. And He gives it to every one of His people. Not just to some. Believing. From faith, that's knowledge revealed, that's faith. Our faith, what do we believe? To faith, knowledge received, knowledge believed. The justified, those whom God has justified, they live by it. We live by faith. That's the God-given means of living. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's the gift of God. Our faith in Christ is the fruit of being justified. It's the fruit of Christ's righteousness imputed to us. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 10 that if Christ be in you, this body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life, which includes faith, our faith in Him. It's life because of righteousness, because of what Christ did. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll do what? I'll draw all unto me. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. So you see, our faith in Christ is the result, the fruit, the effect of our having been justified by the faithfulness of Christ. Is that important? You bet it is. Our faith in Christ connects us to Him spiritually. Sometimes it's called putting on Christ. When did you first put on Christ? When God brought you to believe in Him. By faith you put Him on. Our faith in Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit within us and gives evidence of spiritual life within. If you've received Christ, you were born of God. Believe in Him. And by our God-given faith in Christ, the Lord keeps us looking to Him as the author and finisher of our faith. And listen to this. Our faith in Christ glorifies our Father in heaven. So is that important? You bet it is. Is that necessary? Oh, yes. And I don't ever want to preach a message or write an article that diminishes the need and the value of believing in Christ. If you don't believe in Christ, and you continue in that state all your life and die without believing in Him, the Bible says that's an evidence that the wrath of God abides on you. So there's no question about that. However, we must never consider the blessedness of our God-given faith in Christ to the exclusion or even the negligence of the ground of our salvation, which is Christ's faithfulness to do His great work for us according to His promise. In considering the grace of our faith in Christ, we must never depend upon our faith in Christ as to the ground and security of our salvation, or a condition that we've met in order to make His work successful. We depend totally upon His faithfulness to accomplish our redemption by His death on the cross as our surety, our substitute, our Redeemer. Listen to this. This is from the Old Testament Lamentations chapter. And I'm reading this because, you know, I had a fellow ask me one time. He said, well, why would Christ need faith? He didn't have to have faith. Do you know that God's faithfulness is one of His attributes? Listen to this. This is Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And then look up in Romans 3 here. Look at verse 3. Paul says, what if some did not believe? Talking about the Jews who did not believe God. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Now, God promised to save all Israel. I can show you scriptures that say that. But who is the Israel that He's talking about there? He's talking about spiritual Israel, Jew and Gentile, God's elect, chosen by God before the foundation of the world and given to Christ Jesus. They're all going to be saved. Read Romans 11. But now, the majority of the ethnic national Jews did not believe. Well, does that mean that God is not faithful to His promise to save all Israel? Did God go back on His promise? Was God not able to keep His promise? No. Verse 4, God forbid. Yea, let God be true. In other words, let God be faithful. And every man a liar. And He says, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God is faithful. Before the foundation of the world, God chose a people and gave them to Christ, His Son, the second person of the Trinity. And Christ promised, agreed, to do everything necessary to save the people of His choice. That's right. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises of God are in Christ, yea, and in Him, amen. The writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let's keep on believing in Jesus Christ without wavering. And here's what he put after that. For He is faithful that promised. You know what he's saying there? Persevere in the faith, knowing that it's God who preserves you. He's faithful. He won't let you go. He said He'd save to the uttermost them that come unto the Father by Him. And He's faithful. He won't get. God has never broken a promise. Christ has never broken a promise. God in human flesh. He's never broken a promise. He's never failed to fulfill a promise. He's faithful. And clearly, God's faithfulness, revealed in the glorious person and finished work of Christ, is the ground of our salvation. Look at it, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God. Now, what is the righteousness of God? That's the entire merit and value of what Christ accomplished in His obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people. That's what the righteousness of God. And how did that come about? By our faith in Him? No. By His faithfulness to do all that He promised to do. The faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That's our assurance of salvation. His faithfulness. He will not let us go. And it's upon all them that believe. Now that's our believing in Him. If He was faithful to do for you or me what He promised to do, He'll bring us to believe in Him. It's upon everyone that believes. His righteousness is imputed to everyone that believes. Righteousness imputed is the ground and the cause. Believing is the fruit and the effect. And there's no difference. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Being justified. Now that's His subject, isn't it? Unconditionally, that's what freely means, without a cause, by His grace. Through what? Through your believing? No. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, why do so many modern translations translate that in Jesus Christ instead of all? I'll tell you why. It's because of man's emphasis on his believing as the ground or cause of his salvation. And it's wrong. I can show you other scriptures here, but think about this. Clearly, it's God's faithfulness. Our faithfulness is the work of God in us through Christ, by His Spirit, through the Word. It's all of grace. It's the fruit of Christ's work for us. But the context determines it and shows it. Now, let me show you a couple other scriptures, and then we'll be through. Look at Galatians chapter 2. And you can mark this in your Bible. If your translation, whatever it is, if it has end, I just mark it out and put off. But now you may disagree with me. And you have every right to be wrong. I'm telling you, this is what it is, though. Look at Galatians 2:16. Now, what's Paul's subject here? How God justifies a sinner. Same subject. Look at it, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, what he said in Romans 3? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. We're justified by what Christ did. What He was faithful to do. What He promised to do. And He was faithful to do it to the very end. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We're justified by His faithfulness, His work, His merits, His blood, His righteousness. And not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So that should be I don't know what translation you have there that might say in, but it should be of. And then turn the page over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now again, what's his subject? He's talking about justification. How a sinner is justified, made right with God. He'd already said up here in chapter 3 that no man is justified by the law, verse 11, in the sight of God. It's evident the just shall live by faith. Now that is our faith in Christ, because he's saying those who are justified, they live looking, depending upon, believing, resting in Christ. That's our faith in Him. But then he says, Christ hath redeemed. The law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's our sin imputed to Him, which He fell under the curse of God's law to die for our sins. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And He did all that, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, we receive the promise of the Spirit, how? Through God-given faith. How do I know the promises of God? How do I believe the promises of God? The Spirit brings me to faith in Christ. Rest in. But look over at verse 22. He says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's all of us by nature in a state of sin and death, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, the promise of salvation for God's people was not by our faith in Him. It's by the faithfulness of Christ to do what He said He'd do. And it might be given to them that believe. You see there? He's not repeating to the idea there. He's giving the ground and the effect. This promise of a salvation was by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that it might be given to those who believe in Christ. You see the difference? And then one more, Philippians chapter 3. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Now, the apostle here in this passage is talking about faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. Both are the gift of God. Both are given to God's people because of what Christ did on that cross. And his point here is that faith looks to Christ and what he did as the ground of our salvation. Look, if I have God-given faith, I'm resting in what Christ accomplished in his death for my forgiveness, for my righteousness before God. And he says, look at verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And what he means there, well, he says in verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. That's all his efforts to be righteous, that I may win Christ. Now look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, not any righteousness that I worked out by keeping the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That righteousness which is through what Christ accomplished. His faithfulness. The faithfulness of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness which we receive by God-given faith. Romans 10 says it this way, that by faith we believe in that which God accomplished in the propitiatory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Romans 10 and verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. In other words, our faith is not our righteousness. Our faith believes unto righteousness. How? It believes in Christ. And that's what Paul's saying here. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Christ's faithfulness is the ground of our justification. He faithfully carried out the will of the Father to provide redemption through his finished work on Calvary. He said that, quoting him in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, I come to do thy will. It's written in the volume of the book. And all whom God has justified by his grace, based on the faithfulness of Christ to work out righteousness for us, they'll be given the grace of faith, the gift of faith, to believe in him and to rest in him and to cling to him, persevere in the faith by the preserving grace of God, which is the fruit and effect of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that's clear for you. We've had some discussions on that in people on the internet, and I thought, well, that might be something that we all need to hear. So, all right.